Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from This Just In Studios on the Business Radio X Network, as well as the Healthcare Now Radio Network. For this episode, my 205th episode, we're going to do a special show dedicated to virtual care and the best practices, as well as key strategies to be successful as soon as possible. This is a topic near and dear to my heart. I bring it up with a lot of my guests, and then I realized this past week that I just decided I'm going to do my own show because I've been out knee-deep in the industry over the past 7-8 months. I'm deploying hundreds of systems, working with my teams around virtual care. And when I say virtual care, I mean telehealth, remote patient monitoring, remote care management, device management, and obviously the whole patient experience, that digital front door to health systems, hospitals, clinics, practices of all sizes. So that's when I say virtual care. It's really the entire envelope of care that happens outside the four walls of a practice or a health system or hospital. But a couple of topics I'm going to cover today is really why it's so important to start now. I'm going to go through some stats, and a lot of you have been reading this out there, but I'm going to cover why getting engaged with virtual care is critically important for your long-term success, where to start, the incentives available today, and they're growing significantly, best practices, and from several different perspectives. And then also the 7 levels of virtual care. So what you can kind of look forward to as a glide path for success. I only have roughly 26 minutes today. So we'll see how much I get through. I hope I get through quite a bit. It's a complicated topic. And I obviously, I talk fast, so I'll try to cover a lot of ground. But again, it's a dialogue that I do want to engage. I'm probably going to do more shows like this just because, again, I am knee deep in this, working across the country. And really helping practices and organizations of all sizes evolve their strategy and engage virtual care, how to, and being successful with it. And everybody's starting from a different spot and different level. And so that makes it a lot of fun. But starting off, really, why this radio show, why now, and why the topic? Really, since we saw COVID-19 and the coronavirus hit in middle of February, we watched healthcare shift dramatically. And I think, without going into the whole coronavirus and COVID conversation, we've seen how and where healthcare has changed. And importantly, we've got to stay ahead of this, and we've got to stay in front of this to the best of our ability. We've watched a lot of hospitals lose anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20% of their business, and in practices up to 35% of their business, or 50% of their business in revenue streams. And obviously, we've had a lot of financial incentives come from the federal government, but that's not a long-term strategy. And so we need to get to some fundamentals to really be able to evolve. And these fundamentals are what healthcare needs in general. So these are completely aligned to where we need to go short-term, as well as where we need to go long-term for healthcare. And a lot of us have been working on this for decades now and trying to get the right policies in place around, we started off with some EHR work, but really around telehealth and, again, remote patient monitoring and where we need to go with device management and so forth. So that foundation is what we've leveraged heavily because that, again, foundation was poured over the past 5 to 7 years. And so when the coronavirus hit, we're able to leverage that platform, those policies, and then enable them even further. So you saw the relaxation of different policies. So we were able to have telemedicine across state lines and with multiple different types of care providers that weren't able to provide telehealth before and get reimbursed for it and have legal protections around that, as well as financial incentives around that. So, and I think that's a great step forward for healthcare in general. And as we've probably seen in a lot of the news stories lately, we don't see CMS turning that back, CMS-IRMA turning that back. This is something that we're going to, continue to encourage at the federal level, but also at the state and the community level. So I know CMS is highly encouraging, and now states are also highly encouraging the private payers to follow suit. And we're seeing that in many states across the country. I believe I just read a great article from Colorado, how if you're a private payer in that state, you're going to have to reimburse and pay for telehealth So you're, and again, this is happening all across the country. So great momentum there. And again, it's what patients want, because also what we've seen, and again, I know we're all at different starting points, but again, I've been knee deep in this. So I've seen a lot of this. And so I'm going to, you know, share what I've seen. That's why I really was convicted to do this radio show today, one-on-one. I usually have guests. I have phenomenal guests. I love them. A lot of my friends and peers around the industry. But when I thought about it earlier, who do I want my next guest to be? I really want to be able to dive in deeply on what I'm seeing out there for virtual care and to see where healthcare is evolving and how it's evolving, but also where I'm seeing disparities. So I'll get to that, because it's very important that we all pay close attention to this and disparities. When I say disparities, I mean in businesses and who's being successful and who's not being successful. But going back to where we're seeing these incentives and where telehealth is evolving, which again is great, but we want to make sure everybody is taking this seriously in deploying with patients, because now patients have gotten a taste of this. And I just want to let you know, patients are not going to want to go back to in-person visits for everything. In-person visits certainly have a place, and those are very important. And obviously, we have emergencies. The emergency rooms will always be open, and we'll always need them. But there's a lot of routine care that can be satisfied successfully and very inexpensively through telehealth and virtual care. And that's what people got a taste of. I've got some great stories. One of my last guests, I think Joe Gamley, I was one of my last guests who brought up how he went for a doctor's visit for his son or for his child. And he and his wife were both able to participate because it was a telehealth visit. And it was a very important visit for that, for both of them to be available with the doctor. But if the visit was in person, they would not have been able to do that together because of their busy work schedules. But they both were home because of the pandemic. And so they did a telehealth visit, and they both heard the same thing from the doctor. And that meant a lot to them, certainly with that specific visit. So that's just one example of thousands that I've heard over the last several months. I've had numerous encounters with virtual care, just myself. But I switched my entire care strategy over to virtual care several years ago because I invested in a health plan, and we rolled out virtual care with every single patient has virtual care with their doctor, not a doctor. That's the huge difference. And that's what we're trying to enable here. But virtual care with their doctor, who has their medical records, knows their health histories, has their existing relationship. That's the future. And that future, that's here. It really needs to be here. And it's here in a lot of ways, and the coronavirus brought that forward. But I invested in that many, many years ago, and it's been a true blessing for me and my family. I can seek care whenever I need to, however I need to, be on my phone, in person, whatever I, you know, and with travel and so forth. It's just great to be able to have access. And so now that's what we're enabling. But patients have got a taste of this. And now care providers have got to understand, because when I brought up the disparities earlier, I see many large health systems. They understand the strategy. They see where healthcare is going. They're paying attention. They want to be around strategically as well as financially in 5 to 10 years from now. So you got to always think down the road. So I'm working with a lot of large health systems, the largest in the country, deploying these virtual care strategies. And it's going very, very well. But who I'm not seeing a lot of that traction from are the smaller practices. And that's why this radio show is so important to me, because, you know, I work with everybody across the spectrum. I love one doctor practice as much as I love that 15,000 provider organization. So, and I want everybody to be wildly successful. Certainly, if you want to take the time to listen to this radio show and learn best practices, I want you to be wildly successful. So that's really why I was convicted, is because I'm seeing a huge disparity of the smaller practices who maybe weren't paying attention to the business fundamentals of their practice or able to shift very quickly. And it's very vital, because you are going to see, you've already seen it. You're experiencing anywhere from a 25 to 50% reduction in patient volume, visit volumes. But you've got to be able to recoup that revenue. In telehealth and virtual care and remote patient monitoring and remote care management can be that augmentation for you, can keep you alive, can make sure that you're successfully navigating where the future of healthcare is going. So that was, you know, critically important. So no matter what size practice you are, facility, organization, clinic, hospital, health system, you've got to be looking to say, all right, how do I evolve my care strategy? What do I need to do to ensure I enable where healthcare is going in my community and with my patients? Because that's really the strategic component here. There are a lot of financial incentives per patient. Not only for the telehealth visit, you can get reimbursed your full visit now, but also on the remote patient management side, remote patient monitoring side, you know, anywhere from, you know, $120 to $200, $150, $60 a month per patient to manage them and manage their care. then you can layer on some chronic care management on top of it. There's a lot of money to be made. And this is the future. That is the future of healthcare. That is the future of where and how your patients are going to be managed. Not for every single visit, but for a lot of in-between care. So, and I believe people are starting to see that writing on the wall. I've actually been able to create a calculator here, and I'll actually run some numbers, I hope, a little bit later in the show, specifically around what this means for practices and for care providers. But it's important to understand that, you know, there could be anywhere from, for an average practice, an additional $100,000, $200,000 in this, just on the remote patient monitoring side of additional revenue. That's a lot of money for your average five doctor practice, internal medicine. So then you layer on again, the telehealth visits, you know, and the RPM money, just again, just lots of opportunity for efficiencies and to scale your business as a five doctor group, as a three doctor group, as a 12 MD FQHC or 100 doctor FQHC or large facility. So anyhow, I think it's very important to begin to research that. But let me dive into some of the things that I've been seeing specifically and why it's so important. Again, I just went through some quick numbers on virtual care and what it means for you know, some of these financial incentives, but really where to start and to look out there on what you're looking for in technology, because you've got to look for that full breadth and depth of solutions and make sure it meets your needs. So again, it's about thinking about your care strategy and evolving your care strategy. To say, hey, how can I ensure I incorporate virtual care, telehealth, RPM into my care strategy for my practice or my health system? So number one is being open to the concept. And then what does it really mean? It's not business as usual. This is about, and there's a lot of best practices that we've been able to create about how creating, you know, there's certain routine visits that can be done very successfully via telehealth. So then some recommendations are we schedule every Tuesday morning and Thursday afternoon, just for telehealth visits. So you can actually increase revenue. You can see more patients in that if you slot them off, say 10-minute slots, 15-minute blocks, just in telehealth, you can fit in more patients that way when you schedule them into your, but you have to schedule them again. Think through this. Think through your scheduling. Going, all right, you know what? Monday, we're gonna do in-office visits. We can maybe layer, you know, certainly Monday morning, you want in-office visits. Or you can even break this up by, hey, I have certain doctors that do in-office visits and I have a certain subset of doctors that do telehealth visits. And you can fit in a lot of telehealth visits in a day, I promise you. But you got to think about your schedule and you got to do all this in advance and think about how I'm going to break out my practice. And this is not going away. This is also something very important that I want to address is while we do have a little bit of we've kind of gone now through some hills and peaks and valleys and we thought we're going to all go back to work and now we're back into a little bit of a corona fear. Where the virus is outbreaking, thankfully deaths aren't spiking, but you know obviously cases are spiking tremendously. So we are seeing people now oscillate between, well, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to go out, I'm actually not going to go out. Well, you still need to see patients. They still need care. They still need their routine maintenance, their routine care. Certainly with all the chronic conditions we have nationally. So work out your schedule. Whereas either your providers have set times that they do in-person visits and they have set times where they do telehealth visits. And this is a great way to increase your revenue, not have a revenue cut of 15, 20, 30, 40, 50%. But if you can do this strategically, this is what I'm doing with hundreds of practices across the country, is creating different workflows within their practice, within their care providers to be able to handle this today. But again, it's not going to just go back to all visits in person. Patients have got a taste of telehealth. They've gotten a taste of what RPM and remote patient monitoring can do for them and how they can have remote care. You've got to make sure that you're enabling this and you're not just saying, oh, I'm going to do this for the next 3 months. I'm going to look for some free, cheap solution that'll get me through. There is no getting through. You've got to look for a product that, and I'm going to go through a lot of the functionalities that you're going to have to look for, because what's going to happen is you're going to have patients. If you don't give the patient the ultimate experience, a great patient experience, you probably have a 15 to 20% chance of losing them. And that's a conservative number. I'm trying to be nice and gentle. I don't want to spook anybody and scare anybody. But patients are becoming much more savvy. They're understanding what's out there. They're using their technology for every other piece of their life. Please don't think that they're not going to use technology to better manage their care, their health care. They're using phones to obviously all their social media, all their email communication, their scheduling, even with their family. scheduling with their hotel, scheduling with their airlines, their travel, their car rentals. You can buy a house now via an app. Please know that this is coming into healthcare very quickly. So the organizations that offer these great digital front doors, digital experiences, and usually those are at lower cost because they're leveraging technology, leveraging innovation, leveraging AI, leveraging machine learning, leveraging intelligence, optimization. So this is very important to think about, no matter what size organization you are, is that you're understanding how patients are shifting, their buying habits are shifting. They're still seeking care in a lot of cases. They may go a couple of extra weeks, or maybe a couple extra months. It depends how their conditions and what they're navigating personally. Patients are making decisions based on digital experiences, on virtual care, on cost. So you just want to make sure that you are navigating your organization with this, large or small. This is the exact same strategy for a one doctor practice, a five doctor practice, any specialty, a 20 doctor, a 100 doctor, and a 15,000. I work with practices at every single level there and organizations, healthcare conglomerates. They're all moving in this direction. So if you are not making tangible strides with telehealth, fully integrated into your entire digital experience platform, integrated into your remote patient monitoring, into all of your remote care management. When I say remote care management, I mean that way multiple providers can collaborate on a single patient record. So two, you can share it with other specialists. You can share in your practice. I'm not getting into the whole interoperability discussion where, you know, multiple EHRs across multiple communities. That's a different discussion. I'd love to talk about it, but not right now. But in fact, within your organization, that you can have two or more care providers or four or more care providers living in the same patient record, discussing it electronically from home, from different communities around you. They may live in different towns, but they can still go on. You can have video, visual pictures. You have access to medical records, all vitals, important care information, and you're discussing this patient. That's called remote care management. And you might have the patient involved, you may not. But that should be your choice, not a technological limiting factor. So let me go through some of the very important pieces of functionality and innovation that needs to be integrated. And again, I'm watching great disparity here, and this is why I want to dive into this, and this is why the show is so important. The large health systems, it's not about money. This is about focus. This is about where, because the large organizations, they are getting hit just as hard, but they're working very quickly to try and successfully navigate, to try and strategically evolve their care strategy for their community. And the ones that do it are going to be wildly successful because they're picking up. I'm working with hundreds of practices, picking up more patients. But I want to get the word out to everybody about what's happening out there in every corner of this industry. It's not all gloom and doom. There are winners here. And this is what, I'm part of that, those winning teams. And I want to make sure I share this message with everybody. So you understand how can I be successful? And for a small practice, it's just a couple hundred dollars a month. And you can strategically navigate and dominate your community for a couple hundred dollars a month. And you probably can cut out existing costs. It's not an add-on of a couple hundred dollars a month. This is going to cut out other disjointed, unintegrated products that you're paying for, wasting your money and offering a really poor experience to your patients. But let me give you an example of what all the different functionality that can be integrated onto one single platform. Online scheduling, including patient self-scheduling, copays, the full digital check-in experience, reminders for appointments and care plans and follow-ups and everything like that, intake forms, consent forms, clinical decision support, all the care plans, patient surveys, physician surveys, results, care plan tasks, educational content, outstanding balances so you can collect that from home, remote patient monitoring, remote care management, vitals, telehealth, secure messaging, follow-up alerts, text messaging. All these different functionalities are critically important to be integrated on a single platform. Because when I get out there and I'm walking into these practices and health systems, you've got two or three or four systems that may or may not be integrated. Most times they're not integrated. And if they are integrated, it's clunky, it's disjointed, it gives a horrible experience to practices. I mean, to the patients, the horrible experience for the patient, I mean, for the provider in the practice as well, but it's a poor digital experience, and that's the holy grail here. You want to ensure you're offering a fully integrated, single look and feel to your patients, to your providers, protecting your brand, offering a white labeled app to your patients. They can just, you know, every practice and health system will get their own white labeled app. This is critically important for patients, for your entire organizations, for your providers. So you maintain your brand, but also you seek more patients. You offer the best care possible, but you also need to ensure that you are attracting patients as well. So very important that you, when you get out there, that you understand also when you're looking at different vendors, you want to do apples to apples. I just got off a conference call with a large health system, and they are a national one, and they actually are trying to compare different vendors, but they were doing it in a very nonchalant way. And I said, guys, you want to get down to a simple apples to apples, literally an Excel spreadsheet with check marks, and go through every ounce of functionality and hold the vendors accountable. Because you don't, that's the most important thing here. Whenever I do a contract with somebody, I hold the vendor accountable. I play a neutral third party, and I make sure the health system delivers their component or the practice, whomever, whatever the buying agent is. But the vendor has got to be held accountable as well to milestones. So the health system has to show up, or the hospital or the practice has to show up for training and be tested and train and sign off on the system. But then also the vendor has to deliver what they promise and all the functionality that supposedly they promised during the sales cycle. So you've got to hold your vendors accountable. And you always do an apples to apples in the functionality checklist of your different vendors. Don't let the smoke show some fast talking salesperson sell you something that does not solve your problems. Because it is all about solving your problems and successfully navigating you to the future of healthcare. But really very important to begin this process and engage, and then just find a great starting point. So let me walk through some of these different levels. I've got only a couple more minutes here. And I'll certainly do another show on this. But very important to really understand what we're publishing some stuff, and I'll do this through my radio show, the 7 levels of virtual care. But here's level 1, just very simple. And a lot of you do have this portal, lab results, prescription refills, and educational handouts available electronically to your patients. So a lot of the practices have that. If you've done the meaningful use any of the stages there, you probably have a lot of that. Number 2 is offering telehealth, secure messaging, and remote appointment reminders. So that's kind of level 2. That's a lot of practices got to that in with the coronavirus. I think greater than 50% of practices, 60% of practices deployed telehealth over the past several months. And I've been fortunate enough to be part of, I've deployed 8,000 providers now with telehealth and the full virtual care platform in the past 4 months. So, a lot of opportunity for success out there, but it's going. So level 2 is telehealth. And again, we got there as an industry a little bit. Level 3, mobile app, digital check-in, patient collections, newsfeed for practices and for health systems. So it's level 3. We're getting there, but that's really your white labeled app. Level 4, again, not many people are getting here. I've got a couple, but online scheduling, home monitoring devices, procedural prep. So that's level 4. Level 5, guided care with care plan tasks, remote patient monitoring, patient reported outcomes, data collection pro for a lot of the ortho groups. Remote patient monitoring is a lot of the different specialties. So that's level 5. And this is important. I want you guys to hear what you can look forward to as you engage, because all practices, I promise you, are going to go through this stage. It's just who wants to get there faster, who wants the revenue from this. But I'm running out of time, so I want to keep on going. I want to get all the 7 levels. So that was level 5. Level 6 is care management dashboards, high-risk patient flagging, care plan compliance monitoring. This is really, you're really getting in there and monitoring your patients remotely. And then you have all the care management dashboards in front of you. That's level 6. And level 7 is clinical decision support based upon patient-reported data, predefined order sets, automatically set by patient-reported data, real-time data interaction with patients. You know, you really want to close the care gaps. That's the fun part. That's when we get really this all on steroids. So no pun intended there with healthcare. But that's level 1 through 7. I know I ran through this very quickly. I'll be publishing a lot of this coming up as well. But I think it's very important for everybody to begin to research their glide path and how they can engage virtual care, what it means to them, how do they evolve their care strategy, and how do they really increase their digital experience or optimize the digital experience for their patients. I promise you, patients are looking for this. It's time to take this very seriously. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars of incentives. There's not millions of dollars of incentives for a lot of you. There's several of my larger health systems. There's anywhere between $3 to $6 million of additional revenue that we're bringing them. And this is the future. So please take this seriously, engage it. I will do another show on this. I'm running low on time now, but I truly appreciate you taking the time to hear me. Hopefully I've shared some strategy, something that just got you excited about, you know, taking the next step. And we'll certainly continue on this conversation. And I want everybody to, you know, do please check this show, come back to some of my content. And I'll continue to share best practices. But thank you for joining me today, and tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. You can catch all my shows posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. And if you missed any of the comments or any of the show, and you want to talk to me or want me to see your comments, you can go to ThisJustinRadio, use the hashtag on Twitter or any of your major platforms, or you can certainly check out the site that we've launched at JustinBarnes.com. Thank you, everyone, and have a terrific week. Stay safe.